the voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
All right, back here in my holiday hut. Can't say that anymore. Just my radio hut, my plain old radio hut, right here on Dakota Avenue. Just glad the heat works. 7 above right now, and mostly cloudy is what you're looking at. And what you're waking up to, hey, it is Thursday, it's the new year, and everybody's favorite historian stopping back in, Janet Gageland, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, you too.
Well, we're talking, you got me intrigued. Now, I said, Janet, what are we talking about? She said, we're talking about January 3rd. What in the world?
1925.
Well, 1925. Well, we're bordering on that here.
We are.
What was going on?
Well, it was about 10:30 in the morning. That year, January 3rd was a Saturday. And so there really wasn't a lot going on, nothing unusual. But Joseph Simonich from Breckenridge owned a building, and it was very close to where the old Stratford Hotel was.
Okay.
And there were a couple of gentlemen, Mr. Patterson and Mr. Parker, I think, were interested in renting the basement part of the building, and they were going to make it into a billiard hall. So he met with them. They go down the steps, and one of the men, and they were well dressed, you know, looked like businessmen, you know, overcoats and stuff. So they get down the steps, or going down the steps, and one of them locks the door behind them.
Mm.
And he takes out a gun and says, "Stick them up, please."
Oh, your money or your life.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Oh,
and,
man.
And so then they continued down the steps, and the other one said, "We've been waiting a long time to do this." Yeah. So I think Joseph was kind of like a celebrity sort of person in 1925 in Breckenridge. So he was wearing a ring. I think it was a quarter of a carat.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty, you know, pretty good diamond ring. And he had a 21-jewel Elgin watch. And he also had a money belt. So they took all that from him. But it really wasn't what they were looking for.
Really?
Yeah, because Joseph was kind of eccentric. And he had all of these gold bonds or certificates where, you know, your certificate is as good as the gold that you put in the bank kind of thing.
Sure.
And so he had a lot of those. And he would show people that he had them. So they were kind of afraid because he would carry them around with him. So that's what they were after.
Well, good way to attract attention.
Yeah, for
certainly.
Sure. So they found the jewelry, and they were like, okay, yeah, this is good. But that's not what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So the second guy, not the one that had the gun, but the other one, said, "Give me your clothes." So they took his clothes and ripped them apart looking for those certificates, thinking that, well, he maybe hid them in his jacket.
Sewed them into the lining or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, they should have known better. He didn't do that. But anyway, they didn't find them. So gave him back his clothes, and there happened to be a woman's apron down there. And so they put the gag in his mouth, which was that apron, and then bound him and tied him to a post, a basement pillar. So, I know.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, so up the stairs they go, because they didn't find anything on him, in his clothes, or anything downstairs in the basement. So they go to the main floor. And there was a desk up there, and they just rifled through the desk and found the gold certificates, which was worth about $5,000. In 1925.
And in that was a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, he had gotten them from his uncle about 20 years prior to that. So they had a lot of value. All right, so the robbers.
That's the first half of the story.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a two-parter.
All right.
So anyway, they leave with their loot, and they get out the back door, which was kind of like by an alley, and they just kind of leave, you know, walk off into the day, you know. And so
they got what they wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
And Joseph was beside himself. You know, he got himself free in about an hour. So he contacts the sheriff. Well, he was so upset that he couldn't identify the people. Yeah. So, but there happened to be a grocery store clerk just maybe a building or two to the west of where the Stratford was. And he saw a couple people leaving about that same time. I don't think it took them very long to figure out what they needed, and off they were.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a five-minute robbery. I'm not sure. So they left, and the clerk saw them, and then along they did some more investigation, the police did, and they contacted Henry Krausch, who was the Breckenridge fruit dealer.
This gets stranger by the minute.
Yeah. So he identifies them as two males, one about 25 to 30 years old, and with dark hair, medium height, maybe less than 6 feet anyway, weighing about 150, 160 pounds. Well, how can you tell with, you know, a winter coat on?
Right.
And then the other one was older, maybe 40 to 45, and he had sandy hair, and he was for sure 6 feet, but he didn't really weigh a whole lot more than the one, maybe 170 pounds. So he gave a pretty good description,
yeah.
But that was the only clue they had. They didn't have anything else, you know, to go on. So the sheriff sends out a notice to all of the surrounding small towns. Be on the lookout for these gold certificates that some of these robbers might try to pass. I mean, you could take them to a bank, and if they could read them, they could give you money for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you really wouldn't want to take it to a barber shop and get a haircut with $100. You know,
probably not. That might set off a few bells.
Well, I don't think they'd have change for that. but to know also that the gold certificates were probably, you know, pretty tattered, frayed, well-worn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the strange thing, well, one of the strange things is that about 5 to 7 years prior to this robbery of Joseph Simonich, he was also in St. Paul and was robbed.
He's got a lightning rod.
Yeah. He was in a saloon in St. Paul. I think St. Paul was kind of like, you know, you go from Chicago crime to mm-hmm. Minneapolis, St. Paul area crime. And so I'm sure he was showing people these gold certificates. Look what I have.
Oh, you know? Just keep it in your pocket.
Yeah. So anyway, he was robbed in St. Paul. And so he went to the detectives, sheriffs, police, and notified them that this had happened. Well, they thought, this might happen to this guy again. So they gave him money and sent him back to the same saloon that he had been at. And then they sent some undercover police officers, plain-dressed
people. That's brilliant.
Into the same saloon. And sure enough, a couple guys came back, robbed him again, and the plain-clothed people, you know, they just arrested him on the spot.
They took care of it, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, he got his, you know, gold certificates back again. But, you know...
Don't brag about your money. That's a takeaway.
Well, yeah. So, you know, he'd been robbed. So he then thought, Joseph thought that, well, maybe I could identify him as those two guys that robbed me in St. Paul. But he wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was of no help to them. They even went as far as Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Okay.
When they thought maybe there were a couple guys down there shooting pool that might be the guys. They weren't. So the police investigated this claim of the first robbery in St. Paul. And Joseph was willing to pay a reward, of course, for the return of his gold certificates. So everybody was kind of on the lookout. And so next week we will talk about how they apprehended.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, this is good.
How they apprehended the robbers. That is another... you can't make it up kind of story.
Did he ever get to open his billiard hall?
No.
Okay.
No. And you know, Joseph must have owned a lot of property because part of the story next time is how, you know, some people knew him because of rental property.
Can't wait to hear this. A two-parter. You've done some digging with this.
Well, you know, I started in some newspapers, and I actually got them from the museum so I could page through them. And, whoa, this one just jumped out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Jana, looking forward to next week's follow-up.
Yep, I'll be back.
All right. Jana Gageland talking Wahpeton history, as she does every Thursday here, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
Fairmount American Legion breakfast this Sunday, 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Fairmount Community Center. French toast, pancakes, eggs, biscuits and gravy, sausage, ham, coffee and juice. Fairmount American Legion breakfast this Sunday, 8:30 to 12:30 at Fairmount Community Center. Every weekday on The Voice of the Valley, you can catch one of the longest-running shows on radio.
I'm Curtis Howard with today's Point of Law.
We're such big fans of Point of Law, The Voice of the Valley, that we have it running twice a day. You can catch it in the morning show at 8:45 or in the afternoon show on your drive home from work at 5:30. Either way, you don't want to miss out on what Curtis Howard...